into the word, and then after the word, we will do our baby dedications. So let's get into it. Somebody say amen. Amen. Pastor's still going to get us out of here on time. Stephen said, I don't know. Hey, good job, all of our Operation Solid Lives Level 1 folks. They're halfway through. Look at them still showing up, sitting on the front row. Wonder why y'all do that. You're hungry. Amen. All right, if you have your Bibles, turn to Colossians chapter 3, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I am going to be concluding our series on God's will is. We've been talking over the last 2 weeks. Last week was a little special. God took over service. The Lord started moving. I didn't get to preach my last message, so I figured I'd do it this week. Is that all right? I kind of had a free week because the sermon was already done. Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. Once you find it, do me a favor. As is our custom, would you stand out of reverence for the word of God? Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. This has been our focal passage for the series on God's will is. How many of y'all have been enjoying this series? You feeling like you're kind of getting some clarity on the will of God for your life? Two of y'all? Well, thank you for the two. Is it because you're flipping at the same time? You punching buttons? All right. Oh, you know what? Brandon set me up. Now I can't lift my electronic device up. I'm scared it'll fall. So if you have your Bibles or your electronic devices, lift them high in the air. Let's say our Bible affirmation together. If you don't know what it is, don't worry. The words are on your screen. Let's say them together. This is my Bible. It is God speaking to me. I am who it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I can have what it says I can have. So I open my heart today to hear God speak a word that will change my life forever. All right, Colossians chapter 3, verse 17. I'll be reading from the New King James Version. If you have a different version, no worries. The words will appear on your screen. Let's read that together. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. Father, I thank you, Lord, for this message today. I pray that you will move me aside. Holy Spirit, you'll come in and you'll teach it with power and vigor. Lord, help us to clear up all the different shades of your will today. In Jesus' mighty name, somebody say amen. Amen. Somebody turn to your neighbor and say, God's will is shady. Turn to somebody else and say, God's will is shady. All right, you may be seated in the house of the Lord. Yep, that's the title, all right. God's will is shady. Well, we've been talking about the power of God's will, and we looked at Colossians 3:17, and when we talked about it, we talked about God's will, W-H-E-E-L, will, and we looked at three different areas. We talked about God's works, we talked about God's ways, and we talked about his will. And in the middle of that, what we discovered is that God's will is whatever, because the Bible says, and whatever you do in word or deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, Pastor, does that mean I can go out and do whatever I want to do? No, that's not really what it means. What it means is, in whatever you're doing, you do it for the glory of God. If you're a janitor, don't sit here and say, I don't know what God's will is. You be a janitor and you do it to the glory of God. If you're a teacher, don't sit back and be like, I don't know what God wants me to do. You teach to the glory of God. Whatever you're doing right now, right where you are, if you begin to do and live in God's ways, then you'll begin to know God's will. That's what we talked about in week one. And if you missed that and said, that sounds exciting, hey, we have a free podcast. You can go back and listen to it and hear what it says. In the second week, we talked about the way that God works. And we said that as we talked about it, we defined, we looked at windows to his will. And we said that there were, the word will had this acronym, and we talked about it. And we said that the windows were the way that we got to see God's will. Those windows were sometimes the influences of others. They were God's word. They were our life situations. They were the Holy Spirit. But in all, what we have to look at when we try to figure out God's will is, what does the word of God say? So we did that, and we said we have to build our life on his word. So today we're going to be talking about God's will is shady. Now, some of y'all are thinking shady as in God is throwing shade at you, talking about you making you feel bad. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to talk about God's will is shady from the perspective of there are so many different shades of God's will, you don't know which one you're supposed to do. So many different shades of what seems right and what we're supposed to do. So how do we work out God's will? How do we take what God is saying and begin to work it out? If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Psalms chapter 40 because I'm going to show you some stuff that King David wrote to help us determine and talk about the shadiness of God's will. Now, Psalms chapter 40, verse 1, we're going to read this. I'm going to read verse 1 through 8 for you. And I thought it was too long to be our focal passage because some of y'all will be on your feet like she's still reading. So I figured y'all can sit while I stand and read this. The Bible says in Psalms chapter 40, verse 1, it says, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me. Now, some of y'all, you're saying, like, I waited patiently is enough for me right there. Some of y'all can walk out and leave and praise the Lord because you've been waiting on God to move, but the patiently part is the hard part. So I want to encourage you, just keep waiting on the Lord, and the Lord will respond. And David says, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He also brought me up out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock and established my steps. Somebody ought to start praising God. David said, look, my life was hell before I came to God. Before God used me, he said, I was in a pit. I was in a life of a miry clay. I had to have God just take me out of my pit because I didn't know what the heck I was doing. I need somebody who had a life that was hell before you came to Jesus to start saying, thank you, God, for bringing me out of that life of hell. David said, not only did he bring me out, but he put a new song in my heart. Ever wonder why people in church praise God so much? You ever wonder why certain people like extra with their praise? You want to know why they're extra? Because God brought them out of stuff that was extra. When God brings you out, you're not drug addicted no more. You're not alcoholic no more. You ain't sleeping around no more. You ain't cussing as much as you used to no more. Come on, somebody. You ought to know that God brought me out. So therefore, I got a song that he put in my mouth. I'm going to give God some praise. And I know folks are going to look at me and say, you crazy. But I want you to know that God has been good to me and I got a reason to praise the Lord. So David says, many of y'all are going to look and you will see and you will fear, but I'm still going to trust in the Lord. He says in verse 4, blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust and does not respect the proud, nor such as turn aside to lies. Many, O Lord, O my God, are your wonderful works which you have done and your thoughts toward us. He said, man, God, I'm glad you keep thinking about me. They cannot be recounted to you in order. I can't even remind myself in order all the amazing things you have done for me. If I would declare and speak of them, they are more than can ever be numbered. And then he hits this verse in the middle, and he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened. Burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. Then I said, behold, I come in the scroll of the book. It was written to me. I delight to do your will, O my God. And your law is within my heart. David was talking about waiting on the Lord and crying out to the Lord. And we don't know where this was in David's life. Maybe this was the point where his son had just betrayed him and wanted to kill him. And yet David was like, but God, you've still been faithful to me all my life. Maybe this was the point where David committed a huge sin, where he committed adultery with Bathsheba and then turned around and killed her husband. We don't really know where it was, but all we know is in the middle of David's mess, David says, I'm crying out to the Lord. He hears me, and I remember what he's done. We don't know. But in the middle of this, in verse 6, he says, sacrifice and offering you did not desire. My ears you have opened, burnt offering and sin offering you did not require. I want to talk to you today, as we talk about God's will is shady, about three phases or stages of God's will. We're going to see these in verses 6, 7, and 8, but I feel like I had to show you the setup with David and what he was going through. The first phase is this. The first phase is discovery. When we talk about God's will, there is a phase called discovery. David says, you have opened my ears to hear your voice. Now, what's interesting is God opened David's ears so that David could hear what God was saying. A lot of times we think, I got to do a whole lot of stuff for God to begin to speak to me. All you got to do is position yourself and God will start opening your ears so you can hear. What are you talking about, Pastor? Have you ever been like reading the Bible and just because you read the Bible, something stood out at you and it was exactly what you were going through in the moment you were going through it, but it was like an Old Testament book in like Zechariah and you're like, how in the world could you take a scripture like Zechariah and make it plain where it applies to my life today? It is because God has said, I'm going to open your ears so you can hear my voice today. Somebody say, Lord, open my ears. See, the thing is that God doesn't want this formal type of relationship with you. God doesn't want this type of relationship where he's like, I'm God and you're nobody. God wants a relationship because he loves you and he wants to talk to you and he wants to fellowship with you. He wants to hang out with you. As a matter of fact, we learn in Operation Solid Lives Level 1, God says that you are my daily delight, which means I love hanging out with you. You're what I look forward to seeing every day. You're who I look forward to being with on a constant occasion. And David is saying, God, I know you crazy about me because you opened my ear so I could hear what you're saying to me. And he says, when you opened my ear, I heard this word, and the word that I heard was in verse 7. It says, behold, I come in the scroll of the book, it is written of me. Now, David is talking about a prophecy in Deuteronomy 17 that talks about the type of king Israel is going to have. And David has at this point where he has come to the point where he's discovered that God wants to use him and he has a place in the work of God. Now, I have discovered, David is saying, not only that God, you have a will, but that you want me to play a part in the will that you have for the earth. Let me tell you, there's nothing greater in life until you discover the fact that God's got something he wants you to do. Only you. He's got something he's trying to do in the earth, and he wants you to play a part of it. Almighty, all-knowing, all-powerful God says, I want you. You ever seen the Uncle Sam posters? God is not pointing his finger saying, I want you as in forced in habit. He's saying, I want you because I love you and I have a relationship with you. You know, there's people who've never, ever had an opportunity to have their ears open to hear the will of God for their life. I can't think of anything more appropriate when we talk about what happens when God opens your ear than when we think about choosing a paint color. What are you talking about, Pastor? Let me tell you something. I hate decorating. There are people who have creative gifts and y'all decorate well. Y'all can see stuff. Man, that's like, you might as well pull my toenails out one by one when you talk about having to decorate. Absolutely hate it. The worst part of decorating for me is picking a paint color. So we used to have this house, and I wanted to paint the room. My husband and I were first married. I wanted to paint it yellow. And I went down to the Sherwin-Williams because I wanted to paint it yellow. But nobody told me that there were like 75 shades of yellow. Now, I didn't care which yellow it was. And the guy was like, you should take it home and put a little sample on the wall to see what it looks like in a room. I said, who cares? Just give me that yellow. I picked the yellow. And I went into the room. It got on the walls. And the room was completely painted. And it was like a lime green yellow. It was the ugliest color. But I was too tired to go back and pick another paint. So we just called it the bright yellow room. We was like, that's our happy room. Whenever we went in the room, it was bright. And I was so frustrated and miserable because all I wanted was a simple yellow, but I couldn't describe the yellow. You ever have that with God's will? Like, you know God wants you to do, but you can't just describe exactly what it is. And it's like, God is like, oh, you can do this, and you can do that. You're like, God, just tell me which one to do. This is frustrating. Let me give you an example. Let's say we decide we're going to paint the room orange. That is a hideous color to paint a room, but let's just go with it. We're going to paint the room orange. If we ever were to go down to the store, there are 43 different shades of orange. You thought dark orange, light orange, medium orange. No, 43 different shades. It's like shrimp. There's shrimp gumbo, shrimp salad, shrimp kebab, shrimp creole, pan-fried shrimp, deep-fried shrimp, shrimp-fried shrimp, pineapple shrimp, lemon shrimp, coconut shrimp, shrimp po' boy, shrimp stew, shrimp and potato, shrimp burgers. There's all kinds of shrimp. I just want shrimp. What I'm trying to say to you is that making the decision to to walk in God's will, there are all kinds of God's will. There's God's will in the ministry. There's God's will at home. There's God's will in your marriage. Do I want to join a small group? If I join a small group, do I join the Bible study small group, the book study small group, the marriage small group, the hiking small group, the gaming small group? It's so complicated. God, just tell me. The discovery phase is this. Which color of orange do I paint it? Electric orange, festive orange, carrot stick orange, candied yam orange, orange zest, citrus. Y'all are getting the point. And I'm belaboring this point because the process of discovering God's will is not as simple as some would make it out to be. You know, we think it's, I'm either going to live my life for God or live my life for the devil. Well, that's easy, isn't it, Pastor? I could do that. But I'm trying to decide, do I take this promotion? Look, God, I've already decided to live for you. I've already decided to paint this thing orange. But now, you know, do I send my kids to private school or public school? Do I send my kids and move them from this neighborhood to that? Lord, I'm trying to figure out the dimensions of discovering God's will. And that's the hard part. How many of y'all thought, yeah, so hard to do that. So difficult. Fortunately for David said, God wants to open our ears. So God wants us to know which shade. He wants us to know what we're supposed to do. And I want to say this, just by being in church today or listening to the podcast, you're making a wise decision because you're discovering the will of God for your life. And you're saying, this is an important decision. Now, I want you to know that some people never even discover that God has a will for them. Some of us grew up in environments where we didn't know there was anything different. So we couldn't ask for God to do something special. Like, for instance, some of us grew up in environments where everybody smoked weed when they was nine. So when you grew up, you was like, I don't see the problem with smoking weed. Ain't nobody saying amen, you don't want to out yourself, all right? I grew up in an environment where people were engaging in intimacy really early, like before the age of 12. And so it was common if you were before the age of 12 to be in intimate relationships with other people. And so it was normal. You ever have your normal not be normal to other folks? And you don't realize it ain't normal? My father was an alcoholic. His father was an alcoholic. My father beat my mother. My father's father beat my mother. And so I beat his mother. And so I thought that that's the way marriage was supposed to be. They supposed to cuss. They supposed to fight. They supposed to hit each other. And that's the way life's supposed to be. But I praise the Lord that God showed me something different later. See, you ought to be praising the Lord because you could be in a position where God never showed you that he had a will for your life. You could be in a position where you never knew that God wanted to use you to do something. But the fact that you're here today means God is saying whatever your normal used to be don't have to be your future. So I praise the Lord. At least I know I want to paint it orange. I may not know which shade of orange or what to do, but at least I know, look, I ain't going to do that no more. That's the blessing from God. So some of us, we get so caught up into God. What are the specifics? We need to just praise God that we know he got a will. Thank you, Jesus. You're going to open my ear. You got something you're going to say. Hallelujah. So how do I do this, Pastor? How do I start discovering it? Discovering it is a complicated process. I can't even tell you how hard it is. But I want you to know today that God wants you to know. The Bible says if you lack wisdom, all you got to do is ask God and he'll give it to you. And some of you are like, but I've been asking for a long time. Let me tell you something. In your discovery phase of looking at the different shades, God will just start putting things in your path and he'll start moving things so that before you know it, you ended up in the right place. How did we end up in this building? How did I know this building was God's specific color orange for me and for this church? You know what happened? One day I woke up and God said, check your Facebook page. I thought, strange. I checked the Facebook page. This is the discovery phase. I saw a friend who used to pastor the previous church that was here saying, I have a big announcement. I thought, I bet you they moving. That was the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit said, send them an email and ask them, are you moving? He said, yes. I said, ooh, what you doing with your old building? I don't know. Look how the discovery phase works. It's step by step by step. We keep wanting God to reveal the whole thing to us. God, I need to know how old I'm going to be when I get married and how old my kids are going to be when they leave my house. And I need to know. And God's like, I may not work that way for you. Your discovery phase might be just check your Facebook. See, the problem with us is we don't want to hear the details. We want the full picture. And we don't want to hear the details piece by piece. Oh, God, I don't want to discover your will a little bit at a time. I just want to discover it all at once. God doesn't always work like that. Think about Abraham. He told Abraham one thing. Leave. He said, Abraham, get your stuff, get your family, get up out of the place you're living and go. Now, what's your first natural question? Where are we going? God never told Abraham where he was going to go. He just said, Abraham, go. And you know what Abraham did? Abraham packed his stuff up. And I was like, how do you pack your stuff and not know where you're going? I was like, this is some stuff, right? But Abraham got his stuff together, and God said, I'm going to show you where you're supposed to go. All right, well, show me. He's like, well, just walk. Walk, just walk, what? Just walk. You going to tell me where I'm going, God? You got me out here all homeless, looking all stupid, bags on my back. I'm talking about Jesus. I'm going to need to know more than that. And that's how we do God. God, you got me out here looking all stupid, not knowing what you want me to do. I done sit out here, I done stressed out, trying to serve you. You done told me to go back to school. I'm going to school. I'm halfway passing. And where are you? When you going to tell me what's up, God? I'm going to need you to show up. This is the discovery phase. I want to give you peace. If you're in a phase like that, just take a deep breath. It's normal. But I want you to know that after you discover, after you get to the point where you hear even just a little piece about your will, about the will of God for your life and what he wants you to do, my second point is this. After you discover, the next thing you have to do is you have to do. If you discover God's will, if you discover a piece of it, if you just discover one thing and you don't do, you'll never get to the final destination. It's in the do that things change. A lot of people get stuck in the discovery. They get stuck in evaluation of the colors of orange. A lot of people have all these different books on different subjects and different topics and different opinions and different teachings and something that they should be writing down because God is working on this and God is working on. But I want to tell you, the word of God is like a can of paint. Its value is in its application. If I was going to paint this room orange and I stacked up 50 cans of orange paint, an electric orange, pick a color, and I never open the can of paint, dip a paintbrush in it, and apply it to the wall, it won't matter what color is in that paint. It don't matter what I've discovered about the color. What matters is in the do. Let me tell you something. God has spoken to some of us to do the simple things, and we still act like it's a can of paint stuck in the bottom of our basement. We won't open the can of paint up, and we won't do what God told us to do. We get stuck like, I know so much about the Bible. Don't nobody care what you know. I want to know what you do. Oh, that right there ought to. You cannot stand in a room and wonder why the color doesn't change if you don't apply the can of paint. You cannot stand in your life and wonder why nothing is changing if you don't apply the word of God to your life. Do you not know it's possible for us to understand stuff about the Bible, to highlight in our Bibles, to circle stuff, to know the will of God and what God wants us to do and all that other stuff, but never do nothing? Matter of fact, I find that the people in the church who don't do are the most irritating people in the church. Y'all, did she say that? You know why it's irritating? Because you can always tell somebody else what they ought to do, but you never do it. And that's the reason why a lot of people don't come to church, because there's a bunch of hypocrites up in there. I tell people, you're right, we are full of hypocrites. And if we was all together the moment you came, we became hypocrites again. It's going to be messed up. I think about it like this. Anybody ever play video games? Like NBA 2K18 or MLB, The Show and all that. So anybody play those games? Okay. You know, it's playing video games is a vicarious enough activity where you ain't doing nothing. But it's like you're pretending to do something, which makes it kind of fun. But now what happens is they got this thing. Where if you don't know how to figure something out on the game, you can watch a YouTube video of somebody else playing the game. I think to myself, And you know what? These YouTube videos got like hundreds of thousands of views. So that means there are hundreds of thousands of people watching, not playing a video game, but watching somebody else play a video game. I can't think of a more time waster than just sitting up. Not only am I not playing, but I'm watching somebody else play a game for like an hour and a half. That's what it's like when you don't apply the word of God to your life. You're just sitting there. You're not involved in life. You're just sitting back watching life go by. What is the point of that? I say this very clearly. Time is not going to wait for you. If God has told you to do something, you're sitting back going, oh, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Let me tell you something. Before you know it, 7, 8 years are going to pass by and you still won't have done what God told you to do. What if I never would have hopped on Facebook that day? What if I never would have taken the time to call that pastor? Where would we be? Some of y'all are saying, God's telling me to go back to school, but I'm too old. You know what? You too old with a degree and you too old without a degree. Pick one. You ain't gonna magically get younger. I'm too old to go back to school. And you're gonna be even older 4 years from now without a degree. There was a guy who came to a program we had called Midnight Basketball. He was 80 years old. He was still playing basketball in great shape. It's pretty cool. And he was an attorney. The funny thing about this guy is, they started asking him, what made you decide to be an attorney? He said, well, I was 40 years old when I went back to law school. We're like, you were 40 when you went back to law school? Why did you decide to go back to law school at 40? Now, he ended up retiring as an attorney and had a whole other career. He said, because I realized I was going to be 44 with a law degree or 44 without a law degree. And I chose to go with it. There are some things that God's telling you to do that you can't use these excuses of time. You can't use the excuse of I'm tired. You know what? The Bible says you need to make the most of every opportunity now. Just think if you would have lived like this when you was 18. But don't beat yourself up. You can live like that right now. There's a lot of people who come to church. They love studying the Bible. They love reading about love. They love studying about the love of God. But they're some mean, nasty, no good, unloving people. What's the point of that? We study about peace and then we go home and yell at our kids. I am a culprit of that. We study about forgiveness and then we go home and we don't forgive the person who hurt us. It's a lot of stuff we study about. We are educated far beyond our level of obedience. And I'm trying to raise us up. Come on, somebody. All right, here's the last thing I want to tell you. So I want you to discover God's will, then do God's will. And the last thing is you'll once you discover and do, you'll begin to desire his will. See, God wants you to go beyond the external actions and pry into the heart and your motives inside of why you're doing what you're doing. Psalm 40, verse 8, as we talked about David, David says, I delight or desire to do your will, oh my God, and your law is in my heart. He doesn't say that God's will is a duty. See, some of us don't want to do God's will because we don't want to do God's will. But what happens, how do we get to the point where we can actually start desiring to do God's will? You know how we get to that point? By doing his will. The more you do God's will, the more you want to do it. It's like, just do it. If you just do it, you're going to want to do it more. Why? Because, Lord, when I start thinking about what you've done for me, and I think about how you've been there for me, and I think about how you helped me and how you showed up, then you know what? I desire to do your will. David was like, yeah, they might be trying to kill me. Yeah, I might have messed up. But I start thinking about how good you've been. I start thinking about how you've taken my feet out of the miry clay. Have you set my feet on a rock? And I start saying, God, I want to do what you want me to do. Not only do I want to praise you, but I want to do what you want me to do. Now, that's a serious place to be in because some of us, we come to God and we don't want to hear what God wants us to do because ain't no parts of us really wanting to do it. The greatest issue, the one that always comes up, is if I'm dating somebody, I don't want to know what God wants me to do when I'm dating this person. Because what if God tells me they ain't the one? Because you know what that means? My desire ain't matched up yet. But I want to tell you something. It's okay if your desire hasn't matched up with the do yet. All you got to do is keep doing the will and the desire will come later. Pastor, what are you saying? When you start to see how God moves in your life, you're going to get excited because you're going to say, when I do his will, is something always better on the other side. Every single time. Every single time. We have to start desiring. Psalms 37 tells us this. It tells us, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, I used to think that meant if I love God, he'll give me what I want. Sometimes that's true, but that's not really what he means. God does fulfill our desires sometimes, but I think that I delight myself in the Lord, not so that he will fulfill my desires, but that he instills his desires in me. When I start delighting myself in the Lord, I start wanting what the Lord wants. I have been a widow for almost 10 years, and I've been celibate in those 10 years. And when I first started, I didn't want to be celibate. Y'all don't want to hear this. The baby's too little, they don't understand. I didn't want to be celibate. But the more I started doing God's will, the more I realized that God's will is best for me. He's good for me. He's protecting me. He's keeping me. He's watching me. And all of a sudden, where I didn't want to do it a long time ago, now it's like I can't help it. I want to do what he wants me to do. I want to stay celibate because I know he has something better for me. My desires changed as I obeyed God. And some of y'all are hoping that God will change your desire first. Stop it. He's not going to change your desire first. He's going to get you to start doing the will, and then your will and your desires are going to line up with his will, because you're going to say, oh my God, this is so much better. When you start realizing how much better life is walking in the will of God, you don't want to go back to not walking in the will of God. So let's pray this. Say, Lord, help me to discover your will, to do your will, and then to desire to do your will. Lord, may my desires be your desires. Father, we declare that as we discover your will and do your will, that we are learning to desire your will. We're learning to desire to walk in your ways. We're learning to desire your commands. Lord, I declare that we're not just a church of hearers of the word, but we're a church of doers of the word. So we can want what you want and see what you see and have what you have. For the ones of us who have old desires fighting against us, Father, I ask that right now in the weeks to come, we would discover your word in these areas, do your word, and then begin to delight and desire you in the middle of it. May the desire to do your will be greater than the desire against your will this week. In Jesus' mighty name, everybody say amen.
You have been listening to Pastor Shayna Hurd, Senior Pastor of Rohi Christian Church, a multi-ethnic, economically diverse, spirit-led congregation located in San Jose, California. For audio teaching downloads by Pastor Shayna, service times and directions, or to become a Rohi partner, go to www.rohichurch.org or write to Rohi Christian Church, 474 Piercy Road, San Jose, California, 95138.